The title of her presentation is Geophysics. And now I give her the floor. Can you hear me? Hello, good afternoon. I'm very grateful for this invitation. I come to speak to you of earth sciences. I'm going to give you a bit of a reflection on how we've built this knowledge and how we can apply earth sciences in these times. I can't see my slides. So we first have to understand that we as human beings and scientists have just a few hundred years working as scientists. And it's like we've shown up at the end of the movie and we're trying to understand the whole thing. The Earth has been here for a really long time and we've just shown up and started to study it. There are many technologies that have been helpful in many cases, but there have been many processes of observation and we have been trying to make sense of everything in our surroundings and where we are and how we relate. These are some of the reflections now. We now know the world is round. It took a long time to figure that out. And we spent a lot of time looking at the phenomena to know that it wasn't flat. Now we understand about magnetic fields, that they kind of work like a magnet. This is a phenomenon that took a very long time to understand. Now we understand that the world is thousands of kilometers deep. But there's only a 12-kilometer limit that we've explored so far in the deepest well. And we have an image here of the 12-kilometer well. So how did we start to generate these pieces of knowledge, these understandings? We went from observations to reflections. And here is one of the great personages of early science. Eratosthenes, Greek, 100 years before the birth of Christ. He's the first person to measure the diameter of the earth. He was living in a city not too far from Alexandria. And he looked at how you could see the shadow in the well in one city and not in the other. And he started to understand that the rays of the sun were coming at different angles in both places. That the altitude of the sun over each place was not equal. And so based on the angle of the sun and the angle of the shadow generated, he began to understand something about the relationship between the earth and the sun and could begin to use this to measure distance. He started with this small distance and then he projected it into the circumference. And if he assumed the Earth is round, he calculated from that segment up to the circumference of the full Earth. This was about 2,200 years ago, without any of the technologies that we have now. Later, we come to gravity. Here we have the work of Galileo. And he spoke about the attraction between the Earth and objects. Always based on observation. And then there's Isaac Newton and the apple. And Kepler, who began to understand the distance to the sun. And Newton actually wrote calculations to explain gravity or to describe it better. So, first it was an advance to see that the Earth was round, and then we realized it was an ellipsoid. It's irregular. It's not a perfect ball. And that the equator is not a perfect circle. And so now we speak of a geoid, which you can see in the graphic. And so what the geoid lets us see is all the points in which gravity has the same value, whether it's at the surface or above the surface of the Earth. All of this knowledge is generated to try to understand the Earth. So here we have the idea of the round Earth, the easiest one. Later, the ellipsoid and the irregularities of the poles and the equator. And finally, the geoid, which is the actual form. And the geoid really is based on what the ocean depths would look like based on the gravimetric force around the entire planet. So here's some different visions of this potato, this planet that we live on. Another part of geophysics is seismology. We try to understand what is inside the interior of the Earth. And in seismology, we're using complicated technology and mathematics. We have the core, the nucleus, and then the crust, and in between the manta. Sorry about that one. So we're talking about, thanks to seismology and thanks to the earthquakes, and geologists with seismologists like it when it trembles. When there's an earthquake, so we have this 60 to 80 kilometer thickness sitting on this liquid layer. It's kind of like an avocado. So we've got the peel, we've got the flesh, and we've got the nut. So we have these plates, and when these plates start moving and begin to hit each other, bump into each other, then this generates the forces that result in earthquakes. So in Chiapas, we have two tectonic plates. In all of Mexico, we have five. And you can see these in the graphic. These plates are moving in different directions. So we can see where the movements are sending them into collision with other plates. And a lot of force builds up, and when it's liberated, that generates the movement of the earthquake, the sismo. So these are registered in all the networks of monitoring sites in Mexico and in all of the global stations that are doing monitoring of earthquakes. So these movements and these waves are generated through all of the levels. Using the monitoring information and models, and we can watch how these move through some layers more effectively than others, how some are affected much more strongly than others. So there is this radiography of the earth that allows us to visualize the deep earthquakes. So in this graphic you can see, so there's 30 to 60 kilometers depth. And then the viscous layer, and then a liquid, and then a solid nucleus. And so we're talking about 6,000 kilometers of thickness. So we can study magnetic fields of the earth. Magnetism is a phenomenon that was first really understood using the brújula, the compass. So magnetism is actually a fairly recent topic within science, but it was really important for navigation. It was important for commerce. It was in 1600 was when people really discovered that there was a magnetic field. There was a place in the ocean where suddenly the compasses would respond, and because there was a super strong magnetic field. And so then people began to study in a more formal way what exactly that was about. Another major personage in magnetic fields is Tesla. He was always promoting science for humanity. But he was never able to bring to fruition all his experiments. He was marginalized. And in this graphic, you can see how some parts are hotter than others, and it's always in motion, and that we have the atmospheric protection from the radiation that's out there further beyond. And then we begin to look at positive and negative charges in magnetic fields. And these help to protect us from solar radiation. And here you can see the Earth, which is very tiny in the center of the graphic, and then the waves of magnetic fields around it. Without this, without these magnetic fields, we couldn't have life on this planet. This graphic demonstrates the relation between earthquakes and solar storms. And here what we can show in the blue part, you can see the solar storm. There are cycles. And these repetitive cycles of 11 years have been measured. And then in the red part, you can see, in the red part, you can see that the earthquakes keep going. So people thought there was a relationship, but there isn't. Mm-hmm. So people also use geophysics for mineral exploration, for oil extraction, or to find mineral deposits of various kinds, to understand volcanoes, to predict eruptions. So as I started to explain, geophysics started with really large-scale phenomena planet-wide. Later, building on these pieces of knowledge, people went to the surface of the Earth and to smaller scales. And so people began to explore the different materials on the surface of the planet and below. We can look at gravity to understand large scale, but we can also use it for exploration of various things. These are gravity meters. So where the rocks are more dense, then you get an acceleration or an increase in gravity that can be measured and used to indicate what might be there. This is used in petroleum exploration because petroleum is often found in denser formations. And magnetometry is also used. And these are images from a distance that show differences in the gravity in geologic structures. Everything that has some kind of magnetic signature, a magnetic footprint, if you will, can be explored using these techniques. The same principle as seismology, instead of earthquakes, there are artificial ways to generate waves of movement and then to read the movement of waves through the subsurface. And that's a way to read the structure and the spatial distribution of structures below. And so it's a way to understand how the signals behave in the substrate. There's also a radar, georadar, that allows people to see below ground content and characteristics and structure. This can be used to find cavities below the surface, caves, openings. And here's an example of what the imagery looks like. These are examples of how the results from these studies look, and they can be read by people who are studying geophysics. Another way of characterizing, mapping, measuring geometric phenomena is to send electrical signals, and then to look at the return of the signal and read that to characterize the substrate. So people use generators of electricity and then receptors to generate a signal and then to retrieve the signal reflected back and read the map of electrical charges. This is from the pyramid of Teotihuacan. And so people are able to use these electrical signals to see what was natural and what was constructed by people based on the type of structure and the regularity. This is used quite a lot in archaeology. That way you don't have to perforate and disturb the site. And this, more recently in Chichen Itza, they put electrodes in the pyramid and sent electrical signals down and were able to get images of the pyramid all the way through to the base. And there are many places where there's not so much access as in these sites, and people are able to begin to make sense of the structures below ground. This is an experimental field to measure various properties, electromagnetic properties of the site through remote sensing. So all of these projects that I've mentioned, these techniques let us look at things below ground. This has also been used to find graves. And so people are now using remote sensing, aerial imagery from satellites in order to search for graves or common graves. But this is just beginning to be used. That's all. Thank you.